When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan. Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay. Inside the 1 o'clock hour this morning on The Fan in New York, Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. I got one more hour to go, which is never an hour. It's really like 50 minutes, so let's get right to it. 888-808-1019. Francisco Lindor hopes to play later on today at 4:05. I think he will. He is obviously battling for the NL MVP with Shohei Ohtani. Can't miss a day when you're adding to your numbers and your resume and your highlights every day. And he's also looking to become one of only two other Mets that have played in all 162 games. He's the heartbeat of the team. He's the leader of the team. And I think they're going to let him play if he thinks he can play and if he's cleared to play and if he goes through his warm-ups and says he's ready to go. So hopefully that man is getting a good night's sleep in Philadelphia in the hotel right now. These games are vital. These games are crucial. And I know if he does miss tomorrow, he's going to want to play Sunday, which is Roberto Clemente Day. And I think that if, you know, the Mets continue the way that they played tonight, which had a postseason feel to it, a packed house in there in Philadelphia, I think they sent a message to the Phillies that, hey, you ain't seen us in a while. You haven't seen us since, you know, the London series the first week in June. Almost 45,000 people in attendance. Well, we're here to play. And if you run into us in the postseason, it's not going to be sweet for you. And I think the Mets have a chance to take this series. They obviously defeat the Phillies 11-3, hit three-run bombs, and just set the tone for what's to come. I think with Severino on the mound, they've got a good shot to take the series in two games, maybe even sweep before facing the Phillies in a four-game set in Queens next weekend. Carmen is in Linden, New Jersey. Carmen, you're on The Fan.
Hi, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. It's a pleasure. Three things. I wasn't going to say anything about Eli Manning, but since it was brought up, I just want to say one thing about him. I met him once, and he talked to me like I was like his best friend. He's was a pure gentleman, and the biggest thing about him was he was a regular guy, but he was always on the field. You couldn't get him off the field.
Yeah, Iron
Man. The biggest thing about a quarterback is to be able to play.
They should have never broke his streak.
We know how that happened, but right. But he was really something. He just had it in him. Different, you know. Peyton was great, but Eli was always on the field. Second thing, I'm a Yankee fan. I'm not really a Mets fan. And but I love all my New York teams. And since the Mets started, even though I'm a Yankee fan since the days of Mickey Mantle, I'm 75 years old, when the Mets started in whatever it was, 61, 62, I like the Mets. I'm a Yankee person. I'm not a two-headed fan, but I never rooted against that. I like to see New York teams win. And finally, this year, when the Mets cry was, you got to believe, I really believe that a Mets fan this year, with the bullpen, the starting pitching, the way they're hitting, the way they're coming back and run, they can do it all. I think the three words that the fans, when they go to a Met game, the Citi Field, they should be using is, why not us? Why not us? I want to hear them yelling at why not us, because I truly believe that they can make it there.
Thanks for the call, Carmen. I don't even think it's like that. Like, I don't think it's a why not us. I think Mets fans do believe in this team. I think you watch the Mets go out there tonight. That was a blowout. That was embarrassing. That's not a fan base crying, why not us? That's a fan base that's now, like, more than believing, really starting to dream big and saying, oh, hold on now. David Stearns is smarter than we thought. Oh, hold on now. This team's got chemistry. This team's got TWTW, the will to win. This team is making it happen. This team is on a war path. When that lineup hits like that, and look at the momentum they carry, bro. Coming out of Toronto, when you had a perfect game, no hit big going on, and Lindor, with one swing of the bat, wakes everybody up. They go on to score six runs. They carried that energy through the off day into Philadelphia. All right, boys, it's time. The big, bad Philadelphia Phillies getting ready for another Red October. A team that went to the World Series 2 years ago when the Mets won 101 games. A team that was just one win away from the World Series and then lost two games to the Diamondbacks. Star-studded lineup, rotation. They're supposed to be the best team in baseball. There were months where people said the Philadelphia Phillies are the best team in baseball. Well, the Mets aren't saying, why not us? The Mets are saying, hey, we want our respect. Not the same old Mets, not LOL Mets. The days of the LOL Mets are over under Steve Cohen, under new president of baseball operations, David Stern, and Carlos Mendoza, who deserves a ton of credit. As we're talking about Lindor for potential MVP, you know, Mendoza's in the conversation for sure for manager of the year. Steady Mendy. Talk about the team having nine lives. That guy is the same. It doesn't matter if it was Michael Tonkin in the beginning of the year, Reese Hoskins. Doesn't matter if it's Jorge Lopez. Doesn't matter if it's Sticky Stuff Band, Edwin Diaz blowing saves. Doesn't matter if it's Hawk to a girl. You know, they've come back from it. They're resilient because they mimic the manager's mentality. In North Bergen, Thomas, on the Fan. What's up, Tom?
Oh, keep this freezing. Uh-oh. Sir, I want to say good evening, first and foremost, and I appreciate and thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Good evening, good morning.
Yeah. You remember our conversation earlier a few months ago when we talked about saying that the Mets weren't going to be all that bad?
Yeah.
I like it.
You know, I do remember talking to you about that, and I remember I said that they were going to win over 80 games. Confirmed.
Yes.
You know, because I'm such a Yankee boy, because I'm a bleacher creature, because I'm a Yankee fan that gets on the radio and I talk like your Yankee fan friend that makes fun of the Mets, I don't get credit for some of the things that I've said positively about the Mets along the way. I thought that this team could be a postseason team. I thought that David Stearns I had respect for regardless. I thought that he was coming in here and not just punting away a season. Look at what he's done. This team could be one of those wild card teams that we've seen get hot in the postseason, play baseball in October better than these other teams that were division winners and find themselves in a World Series.
So, Keith, I was talking to one of my boys, and I said, you always find that one team that gets hot, and then they're a wild card, and then they're dangerous. I feel like our team, they don't want to see us. I feel like we're dangerous right now. That one thing that you just talked about right now with in Toronto, we were getting no hit into the eighth inning. And then Lindor hits a bomb, ties the game, and then everybody starts running amok.
Yeah.
And yes, they are carrying that same energy to
the It's a special year. It can't be denied how special the year has been, how many moments they've had, and nobody does want to run into a team like the Mets because they have hitters in the 8-9 spot that can take you deep. They have pitchers that are turning into aces that nobody wanted. Nobody wanted Luis Severino. Nobody wanted Sean Manaea like that.
Yes.
Nobody
yes.
was thinking about Correct. David Peterson. So I just think
I agree with you.
This time of the year, those guys are looking at each other in the dugout. They're throwing up the oh my God sign. They're led by guys like Jose Iglesias, who's had a great year. Guys like Jesse Winker coming over here. He wants to be down. Harrison Bader wants to prove that he belongs still. Man, in a year where Pete Alonso was supposed to be the main attraction, right? It was supposed to be Pete Alonso, prove it year, contract year. Pete Alonso's going to go crazy, hit 45, 50 home runs. No, everybody else around him has picked him up. But, you know, Pete showed up today defensively and he hit a home run. Don't look now if Pete Alonso, this last couple weeks, is a major player for the Mets and into the postseason.
Also, what I like is that Francisco Alvarez has woken up because he's been dormant for a little bit. And if he can wake up and everybody else doing their part,
Yeah.
Gotta watch out.
You know what?
Watch out.
He was pressing. I mean, he's always been awake behind the plate. Like, as we're giving props to guys like Sean Manaea, Severino, Peterson, and the pitching staff, even the bullpen, half of the props got to go to the guy calling the game, catching the ball. But he had been pressing at the plate, and that's what happened. He's young. He's still trying to prove himself.
He is.
Swing that he put on that ball tonight, the swing that he put on that ball in the Rogers Center, the walk-off that he had against the Baltimore Orioles, if you've got him going right, you got a deep lineup.
Yes, yes, yes. Sir, I don't want to keep you up and I don't want to hold you up, but can I get one shout-out, please?
Yes, just this one.
I appreciate you. Yo, guys, Keith, I'm waiting for you. If you're ever in the need for a new or pre-owned car, I'm at Prestige Lexus and Ramsey. Come see me. We got you.
Yeah, you did that last time. Get out of here, bro. Thanks for the call, Thomas. Prestige Lexus. You did that last time. I thought you were going to shout out your mom's birthday. I thought you were going to shout out one of your boys that listens to KMNA. Like, he plugged his business. We can't do that. There's like legalities. I might get an email from somebody tomorrow. Like, hey, that's officially an advertisement on your show, Keith. Should have hit the dump button. 888-808-1019. Yeah, you know, I am someone who came out of a culture in Yankee Stadium that I know a lot of Mets fans are not familiar with. And I've tried to bring it to the airwaves and speak on it because part of being a bleacher creature is da-na-da-na-na, Mets suck. Ba-ba-ba-na-na, Mets fans really suck. Like, that's built into our stadium experience. Like, the little chants that I just did, like, the first times I started sitting with the creatures, I remember the bleacher creatures that just naturally did that and being like, oh, that's cool. Oh, I need to be alert for when the stadium sounds go on to stand up and be like, Mets suck. We hate the Mets. It's just a New York rivalry. Like, it's, you know, I don't have to explain it to you. But being on air and being a radio host, I've evolved over the last 3 years. I came in here never watching SNY. I came in here, literally, I remember my audition night. The Mets lost 3-2 to the Dodgers. I think Taijuan Walker pitched. He got pulled early, and Mets fans were mad about it. And I'm like, yo, not for nothing, bro. Like, I might never get on WFAN again. I'm not trying to talk about the Mets. Zoo was producing for me that night, and he's like, yeah, you're going to need to take these Mets fans' call. You're going to need to talk about the Mets. It doesn't matter, you know, what you're trying to do or what you think about, like it's about what happened tonight. The Yankees were off that night. So I took some calls on the Mets. I took some calls and talked some Mets fans off the ledge that night or whatever. But I was like, listen, at the end of the day, as a New Yorker, as a New York sports fan, as a Yankee fan, it is better for all of us when the Mets and the Yankees are good. 888-808-1019. We are walking into an October here where maybe the Mets are hosting the wild card round. Maybe they get really froggy and run through these next few games and take a leap to win the division. Is the division off the table? It's a little bit out of reach, but you never know. Maybe they sweep the Phillies here, sweep the Phillies four in Citi Field. Either way, they are coming together. They are rounding into form. They believe. I think all the fans believe now, and it's kind of crazy. I know the math is still like it could end up close, but if you handle business the way you're handling business, we're about to see the Yankees and the Mets host postseason games potentially here, and it's great. It's great for WFAN. It's great for the economy. It's great for the restaurants. It's great for people working in New York, working at the stadiums. It's just better, man. So as much as I troll Mets fans, as much as it's just easy. It's easy money. I met somebody the other day. I was wearing a Mets shirt and told me they're a big fan, and they were like, yo, I like when you troll the Mets. They're like, you know, you're funny with that. Like, you're good at that. And I'm like, yeah, everybody has a friend that's a Mets fan. Everybody has a Yankee fan friend that might not even know anything about baseball, but knows how to clown the Mets, make fun of the Mets. I was the one that got on air and told you, oh, this is the end. This is the end of the LOL Mets. It's going to take a little while to shake some of that off, as this year is a perfect example of. Everything from Hawk to a girl to a player throwing his glove into the stand. Reese Hoskins coming here in the beginning of the year, owning you. Your own guy, Gary Cohen, saying, you know, this is rock bottom. And then even the other day saying the Mets are about to get no hit. Like, these Mets are able to shake that off because they actually do have a manager. They actually do have a standard. They actually do have a really smart president of baseball operations. And what I said is, like, this is the beginning of them being perennial contenders. Make the postseason this year, you'll be expected to go into next season and make the postseason. And when you combine the power of having the richest owner in the sport with one of the smartest executives in the sport, come on, bro, what are we talking about? This is New York. Like, it's a great place to play. Citi Field will fill up and be behind them. In the beginning of the year, it was a ghost town. But when they're good, it's nothing for fans to buy those tickets and show up. And when you combine what the future looks like for that area, what the future looks like for some of these prospects, and what the future looks like with David Stearns being able to say, hey, Steve, this guy right here, yeah, let's offer him. Let's offer him X amount of dollars. Let's get him. They're starting to build a more attractive place for free agents. So the future's bright for Mets fans. And I mean, it is what it is for the Yankees. The Yankees better win it this year. They better get to the World Series this year because who knows what is going to be. 888-808-1019. Let me see here. I can take a couple more calls. Carmine and Howard Beach on the Fan. You got it. What's up?
What's up, Keithy, buddy?
You know, just working.
You heard? So listen, I'm a big-time Mets fan, huge Mets fan, long time. It's depressing, to say the least, right? You know how it works. My bet, you were just talking about, you know, you always got a friend as a Yankee, you always get a friend as a Met. My best friend's a Yankee fan. I always got to hear about the Yankees. I'm sick of it. Listening to the media recently with how, you know, they're treating Lindor in a way. You know, Ohtani's a fantastic player. You know, I won't discredit him, you know. Any other year, he's going to win MVP. But this year, you know, he's a DH. He shouldn't be winning MVP. I get it, the 50-50, historic. But you have to add in, you know, the hits are up, the home runs are up, the bases are bigger, all that. You know, they want more runs. They want more, you know, excitement for the game. Lindor is doing it on both sides of the plate. You take Lindor off the Mets, right? They're not anywhere near the playoffs. This guy's the heart and soul of this team right now. And I know I'm ranting a little bit.
Like, no, I'm waiting to jump in. I'm just going to back you up on it. Yeah. This is something else I said earlier this week about, you know, David Ortiz.
Yeah.
David Ortiz was kind of salty because he said, you know, I never won MVP because I was a designated hitter. But now Ohtani's just a lock for MVP as a DH.
You know, And the other thing about Ohtani is, I don't know how this is going to get on the radio station, but I know, you know, screw LA, right, and all. But, you know, the whole gambling thing also pisses me off, too, because I do think he was a part of that. I really do. I do believe that.
100%.
I think they swept that under the rug because it was Ohtani, 1,000%. And I think it was if it was an average or below average player, he would be banned for life.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. There were a bunch of other players that got banned for life that nobody ever heard of. But with Ohtani, it did nobody any good to prosecute Ohtani. It did nobody any good to get this guy out of baseball.
Exactly. It's exactly what's going on in this world. On the whole, another side of things with, you know, you could, if you do one thing, support one thing, you can get away with it. But if you don't, whatever. But basically, my case is, you know, Lindor for MVP. I said it before the season. I think the Mets are going to be a 500 or a little bit over 500 team that makes the playoffs, which would be the wild card to take the division. Not yet. But, you know, with the president of Stearns and the ownership of Cohen, it's only up for here from the Mets. I love it. And then in terms of the Yankees, everyone needs to relax. You know, the Yankees are a little different these days, you know?
Yeah, I think the Yankees have a shot this year. And like, if they don't get it done this year, we're going to be like, when? If not this year, then when? The Astros are not what they used to be. It's wide open.
I don't see. I know I'm a Mets fan, but I truly, you know, as just a sports fan, like, I'll be honest, like, you know, when I'm an Islanders fan too, I really truly thought the Rangers could have won the Stanley Cup last year. So it's the same thing this year with the Yankees. I do not believe that the Yankees are good enough to win the World Series. You put your team next to other teams, I just don't think the Yankees are good enough to win the World Series. They have two fantastic players, okay? But besides that, where they're going to get their runs, where they're going to get their hits, etc.
Jazz Chisholm, Austin Wells, Anthony Rizzo's got to come through, Jason Dominguez, guys like that. Thanks for the call, bro. The Yankees have as good of a chance as anyone else to get to the World Series and win it. There's not one clear-cut dominant team. The Mets are in that fold as well. And, yeah, when we go back to talking about Ohtani, I mean, I will keep on the Ohtani hater club. Like, I will keep on the Ohtani is KD joining the Warriors. Ohtani is a traitor. He went from the crosstown rival Los Angeles Angels to the Dodgers, and those fans support him. They gave him a standing ovation. Leaving the Angels after X amount of years to join the Dodgers. $700 million contract. He's not pitching this year. Lindor should get a bump for playing defense. And I love that Ortiz came out and said, he's a pretty girl of MLB, because we're not stupid. We all know it. Pete Rose said, oh, if I had an interpreter, I would have gotten away with it as well. You guys are baseball fans. When this season started, they were in Seoul, Korea for the Seoul series. And that first game, if you got up at 6 in the morning to watch that first game, you saw Ohtani and his interpreter. Those guys were always hand in hand. They're right next to each other. Ipe last year would do the celebration. Like when Ohtani was pitching last year and had to get ready for the next inning, Ipe did the home run celebration for Ohtani. Ohtani hit a home run, rounded the bases, and like got his glove and got ready to go, something like that. And Ipe put on the samurai helmet with the Angels and did the celebration. Those guys hung out a lot. Those guys did everything together. You mean to tell me that the message, right? Because initially, if you guys remember that, just go back to Twitter. The messages were crossed. At first, it was, oh, Ohtani was helping out a friend. Then it was, no. He had no knowledge of this. This guy was stealing money from him. Oh, yeah, okay. So as secretive as Shohei Ohtani is, right, we didn't know anything about his wife until this year. He hid his wife completely, and then she pops up at the Seoul series. Oh, okay. Even through the whole offseason, no one can know who he's talked to. Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, says that, yeah, we had a whole 10-minute conversation with Ohtani. And Dodgers fans got mad, and people got mad at him for, oh, letting that information out. We knew where he was going. So you mean to tell me that this guy is so secretive, makes all of this money from Japan to the United States, has all of these endorsement deals. He just let a couple million dollars, be stolen from him? Like, nobody can buy that, bro. Not in 2024. You get an alert on your phone. Somebody is calling you from the bank. Like, it just doesn't. Come on. So we know. So they got to protect their pretty girl. As David Ortiz said, they got to protect their golden goose unicorn. And we get that. But that doesn't mean that there's no conversation for MVP with Francisco Lindor. 888-808-1019. I don't care about the stolen bases. Yeah, I know you're going to tell me the OPS. You're going to tell me the RBI. You're going to tell me the home runs. What I'm going to tell you is he's doing it on a star-studded team that is in it every single year, that has two other MVPs on the team in Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts. And you know what? The thing that irks me the most about, you know, Lindor's case, New York hated on him. We hated on him. We didn't endorse him right away because he started off slow. We were having conversations on this very radio station about how he's overrated, he's overpaid, he's not getting it done. And he didn't become an all-star. He should have been an all-star when Mookie Betts got hurt. When Mookie Betts got hit in the hand and they needed to replace him, they put Ellie De La Cruz there. Come on, bro. Look at I get it. Ellie De La Cruz is an alien, a freak. You guys just saw him with the Reds. Like, but it's not close. The Reds are not making the postseason. Right now, it's looking like the Mets have a really good chance. And Francisco Lindor should have went to the All-Star game. And I think that would have helped his case as well. 888-808-1019. Let me take another call before we go to the break. CJ in Jersey on the Fan in New York. Hello, CJ.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey, man, first time calling. Nice. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. You got it.
So I've been a Yankee fan now for about 18, 20 years. Not a diehard Yankee fan, but I've been a Yankee fan. I follow them. I've rooted for them into opening games multiple times. I get upset, you know, like everybody else. But let me tell you something. I am rooting for the Mets this year, big time. You have no idea. I'm excited for them. They have it. I think Lindor definitely deserves the MVP. It's just been a roller coaster always with of emotions with the Mets. You know, they go down, they go come up, and then just at the very end, they're coming up, and they have a great chance. And I'm excited for them. I'm definitely rooting for them. You know, the Yankees is the Yankees, and everybody roots for the Yankees, and it's always the high expectations. But and for the Mets, I'm feeling it. I hope they make it to the playoffs. I hear you guys in the mornings. I listen to you in the morning, and they said they need a record of about 10-6 to make it to the playoffs. And I definitely rooted for them. They got seven out of the 10 games with the Phillies.
I am a Yankee fan, and I troll the Mets, and I laugh at Mets fans, and I make fun of the Mets and everything that they do. I promise you, if they fall short this year of making the postseason, I won't be laughing about it. I won't be on air trolling. Like, this is a special year, and I think it has to end in a postseason berth.
Absolutely, 100%. My boss, I have two jobs, and my boss at the one of them, he's a diehard Mets fan, and I'm not trying to kiss his butt or anything. When we talk about the Mets, I tell him, I'm like, dude, I really hope that they make it. It's exciting to see. I mean, it's the Mets.
The story has to continue in October, and I think it can be even better. Thanks for the call, CJ. Like, Steve Cohen tweeting out, you know, Mets, Phillies, with everything on the line, can it get any better than this? Hell yeah. How about we have this matchup in the postseason? How about we have postseason games in your building with the Phillies and the Mets? 888-808-1019. Like, it can get a lot better. Got to continue. Got to keep going. And you're this close. This is different than 2022. You know, 2022, fighting for the division with a Braves team that just literally played a ridiculous stretch of baseball. Their winning percentage, I don't even remember. It just, like, walked them down. That's different. I think the Mets are in a great position to see this through. And here we are, steps away from the finish line.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manning calling signal, takes the snap, looks left, pops it up, first is wide open, touchdown Giants! In the left corner of the end zone!
Touchdown!
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Right back at it on The Fan. My last 20 minutes of the show, my last 20 minutes of the week. KM to 2 a.m. I appreciate y'all rocking with me. I appreciate y'all tweeting at me. Even these nerds on Twitter, let's see, at Radio Clowns. Definitely the worst. I'll give you your shout out, though, on the radio. He says he hates WFAN. Anybody that hate listens to WFAN loves WFAN. You could do anything else, bro. Like, you don't even have to subscribe to the radio. It's free. You go out of your way to listen to everyone's show in the middle of the night. I just looked at your Twitter. You're talking about me. You're talking about Al. You're talking about C-Mac. So you stay up at night to hate WFAN. You're a clown, which is why your Twitter is at Radio Clowns. And then my guy, Bobby Mann, RJ Mann, F-R-O 86, RJ Manfro 86. Your whole 68 followers that you're reaching, bro, you got to relax. You got to relax. I'm talking to these guys because I talk to everybody online. I don't think I'm too big to reply. But these guys are going on about Ohtani and Bobby says I'm fanboying the Mets. And I don't know how many times I have to tell you guys, like, I get paid to do this. Like, this is my profession. This is my job. My check landed today. And there's just a 0% chance that I could watch the Mets beat the Phillies 11-3 and ignore it. Like, I know you guys will never probably have the opportunity to do this, so you just can't possibly understand from that end. But these guys go on to say that he hates Ohtani but can't get off Ohtani's balls. But you're talking about being on someone's balls. You guys are always on my Twitter account every day, bro. every day. All right, let me use this last 20 minutes here to give you my NFL Week 2 picks and then take my last three calls on the Yankees, on the Mets, on the Giants, the Jets. So coming up, man, I'll start with the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys at 1 o'clock? I'm just going to give you guys picks money line. The spread right now, it's too tough to pick spreads. Dallas Cowboys opening up Jerry World after a big win against a much better defense. I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys to beat the Saints money line. The Tampa Bay Bucks and the Detroit Lions, a rematch from last year's playoffs. I think that the Bucks will potentially cover that 8 points. That's a huge spread. But I'm taking the Lions to win in their building. That's a tough place to play. They've got a good club. I think the Lions are going to continue rolling this year. They may be a Super Bowl team. The Cleveland Browns at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Deshaun Watson has another alleged sexual assault case that popped up. The Jaguars at home in Duval. I think that the Jaguars know that they could have beat the Dolphins last week. They got to have a better showing. I'm taking the Jags to win that game at home. The 49ers at the Minnesota Vikings. You got to pick upsets. The Vikings are coming off of beating the breaks off the Giants, but I'm not that dumb. I know the 49ers are going to roll in there and handle business. I think they humble the Vikings. I'm taking the 49ers. The Chargers at the Panthers. The Panthers are the worst team in the NFL. David Temper doesn't deserve anything good. The Chargers and Jim Harbaugh are definitely going to go in there and beat Dave Canales' group. Chargers win. And that, like, if I was you, that 4.5 points, I'd tease that up. I'd tease that up to 10. The Las Vegas Raiders versus the Baltimore Ravens. The Raiders are no good. The Ravens in M&T Bank Stadium, they're going to win that game. They're on a lot of rest. They had the Thursday night game. Take the Ravens. The Seahawks at Patriots is an intriguing matchup. The Seahawks coming to New England, I don't know. There's a lot of hype about the Patriots because they beat the Bengals, but they're dogs at home. Plus 156 Patriots money line. I think that defense is good. I think Kenneth Walker is not going to play. First-year coach for the Seahawks. I think you got to play the Patriots there at home. Just with the run game, I got to play the Patriots at home. I'm taking the Patriots money line. Colts, Packers. Packers are playing Malik Willis. I don't think anybody thinks Malik Willis is good. It's not cold. It's not freezing. It's not the frozen tundra in Lambeau. I'm taking the Colts to go in there and win. The Jets, Titans. Jets have to win. It's a must-win game already. Jets. Giants, Commanders. I just think that Jaden Daniels and that offense is going to score more points in their building, and I don't expect the Giants' offense to just start clicking in 1 week from the disaster of last week. I'm taking the Commanders. The Rams, Cardinals. It's not Kyler Murray's job to throw the ball to open receivers. The Rams, even without Puka Nacua, they've got enough talent on offense. They're going to go in there and win that game. The Bengals, Chiefs. The Bengals, I don't know why they're talking. I don't know why they continuously talk about how they hate the Chiefs. Like, they beat the Chiefs once when it mattered. Like, they're not going to beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs are on rest. Arrowhead will be lit up. They still have payback from them calling it Burrowhead and their manager, or not manager, their mayor of Cincinnati and what he said. Like, they're just going to probably dog walk them. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos with Bo Nix, I think they'll have something in a couple years. But I think the Steelers defense and Justin Fields, they'll make enough plays. I'm taking the Steelers to win in Mile High City. The Bears and the Texans, no way do I think the Bears are good enough to go into NRG Stadium and beat the Houston Texans. No way. Texans all the way. And on Monday Night Football after Sunday Night Football, I think that the Eagles beat the brakes off the Falcons in Philly and Lincoln Financial Field. I don't think the Falcons are ready for what they're going to get with that offense and with that crowd and with that defense. Eagles. That is a plus $65,000 parlay. I'm going to put $5 on that to win $3,269 in there. All right. Here's the last stretch, last 15 minutes of the show. Brian, out on Long Island, you're on the Fan.
Keith, First of all, I just want to tell you, I think you're the best guy doing it. I've been listening to sports radio since Kellerman and Kenny on ESPN, daytime, very long time ago. I think it's not comparable. You are very good at this.
Thank you. Thank you.
Second, Mets fans are hilarious. Mets fans are hilarious. A guy like 20 minutes ago said the Yankees only have two good players, Stanton and Soto, forgetting about Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole is walking off of Cy Young. we have the best pitcher in the American League. If we don't have three great players, who does?
Right.
We have a better pitcher and two better hitters than any single Mets player has.
Got the rookie of the year at catcher. Got Jazz Chisholm, who's come over here and added athleticism. Volpe, who's a Gold Glove shortstop. Like, there's a lot of good players on there.
That's debatable. That's a tough one. I think the American League
people are down on Volpe at the plate, but I just think they're giving this kid a hard time. They think he's going to be Jeter at 23. I think he's very good defensively. I think he's solid enough. And I think he's going to have some moments
in October. I didn't like Volpe's glove last year. I didn't think he deserved that Gold Glove. This year, he proved he did deserve it. I think American League has been bad at shortstop for a long time. It is not 2007 where we have Nomar, Tejada, all the gloves out there. Now, there's only five shortstops I can name in the American League.
Well, you got Bobby Witt Jr. now, which is making it tough for other guys. Jason Dominguez, if they just go ahead and play him every day, he's going to show what he has. The Yankees have better players than the Orioles, than the Guardians, and the Yankees will be fine.
If you start a team, do you take Austin Wells or Alvarez as your catcher?
Ooh.
It's Wells all day.
Yeah, because I like Francisco Alvarez. He's my favorite Met, but I don't know if I'm taking him over Austin Wells. The sample size that we've gotten from Austin Wells batting cleanup, not batting in the bottom of the order like Alvarez, he's been incredible. Left-handed.
He's doing the hardest job in baseball.
It's Austin Wells right now, bro. It's Austin Wells right now, bro.
It's Austin Wells. He's the future. He's the future of the new core four. Him, Volpe, Dominguez, if they give him the shot, he shows up.
Dominguez, Luis Hill, Wells,
we have and Volpe. We have our options here.
And Cabrera to make a fifth guy?
I love Cabrera, but where does he play? He's got to pick a position.
He's a utility guy off the bench.
He's Velarde? Like, you can't be Velarde your whole career. Be a guy.
Yeah, they don't love him, but I think they're going to find a place for him and maybe even Peraza next year when Gleyber Torres is gone. I don't know. We'll see.
God willing.
Rizzo is gone. Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate you very much. You're awesome.
Thanks for the call, Brian. You know, high praise. There are a lot of talented people that talk sports in New York City. There are a lot of talented people that talk sports on the radio and television in this town. It is a tough market. It is hard to crack into. You need to be on your job. I don't think enough people realize how hard it is to know everything about all of these teams and sports and leagues and news and updates. And that's why I come in here and I tell you straight up, I don't know everything. And I'm not just sitting on the computer all day reading articles. I have a wife. I have a kid. I have responsibilities to my family. I barely sleep. I have to sleep. But I'm prepared, and I think I have a good amount of general sports knowledge. But I think what I also bring to the table are other intangibles that are not just, you know, being a sports encyclopedia. You guys are hearing me rap now. You guys hear how I treat people on the phone. You guys are hearing my storytelling. You guys are hearing me talk about being a fan at the stadium and bringing that here. I've, you know, added my experience playing college football, things like that. I mean, when you put it all together, I think I'm pretty decent at this and I think I'm getting better, but high praise to say that I'm the best. I don't think I'm the best. I'm fighting for my respect. I'm working towards being one of the best, greatest. And I'm 3 years in, and man, I think back to when I first started to where I am now and what I didn't know and how much I've learned. And I just keep thinking about the future. I'm like, man, the next 3 years, the next 10 years, who knows? So, man, I appreciate you guys. It's, you know, 1:45 Saturday morning, and I'm doing this show. And you won't hear Michael K on at this time. You won't hear Boomer Esiason on at this time. You won't hear some of these other guys on at this time. You got to kind of cut your teeth. You got to kind of earn it. And I'm still earning it. So thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for being just, you know, nice with compliments. Chris is in Whitestone, New York, next up on The Fan. Chris, what you got?
What's up, Keith? Hey, listen, man, doing an awesome job overnight. I'm 39 years old. I've been listening to the Schmooze ever since I was a teenager. You know, Joe B, you're doing an awesome job, Mark, bro. You know, you got to pay your dues, and You're getting there, my man. You're doing an awesome job.
Thanks.
Big Mets fan here. You know, I'm definitely gassed up about what's going on with this season. Typical Mets fan, I'm waiting for the shoe to drop, you know? But they just keep on pushing through, man. It's great. The best stat that I saw tonight watching on SNY was, I was shocked to see this, but the Mets have the number two starting pitching ERA since July 1st.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty crazy, right?
Like, that's what I'm saying, bro. Right, like, now. I remember looking at the Mets saying, who is going to pitch down the stretch when they were struggling? And guys have just figured out, we thought Severino was running out of gas. Manaea turned into an ace. David Peterson, we thought just maybe he was having a couple good starts. Then he strung together a bunch of good starts. He just had his worst start. But, like, yeah, there's been some revelations in that rotation.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, they're playing for each other right now. The whole thing with Jose Iglesias with the OMG sign. I mean, it's just great to see the camaraderie going on with the Mets right now. I'm a diehard fan. You know, we get to the playoffs once every few years and just hoping that, who knows, you know, we can go deep this year. And just looking at the Dodgers, too, it's, you know, they're a great team. They got all-stars, MVPs on their squad, as you were stating before. But their pitching staff is banged up, so who knows what can happen in a series.
Yeah, they just got Yamamoto back. He looks solid. We'll see. They always figure it out. They always seem to be
they
there.
Do. Yeah. Glasnow just went down, so who knows, dude. But just psyched up about the Mets. I want to get your opinion real quick on how many wins do you think they need to make the playoffs, first off. And then I just saw a late report that the Mets are calling up one of their prospects, Acuña's brother. Can't pronounce his first name, but
Luis, what do you think Angel. About?
Yeah, there you go. You got it. what do you think about that move coming up? Is that a scare for Francisco Lindor? Are they just doing precautionary? Or are they going to...
I thought they were doing that as soon as Jeff McNeil got hurt, because this kid can play second base and the outfield. I mean, we've been hearing about this kid since the beginning of the year. I remember seeing him in like a cool ass like black Mets jacket. Like, they brought him to City Field and like brought him on the field. I mean, it's Acuña's little brother. Like, you know, he's got the bloodline. You were able to trade Max Scherzer and get him. He was like the number one prospect. Run it, man. Send him. Like, you don't know. Like, if this kid is like that, like, let's see it a little bit, because they don't have too many young guys. I mean, they have Alvarez. They have Vientos. We saw Beatty a little bit, but they don't have – we saw Christian Scott. But they don't have too many young guys that are contributing for the Mets. There's actually, like, it's mostly veterans and journeymen.
Right.
So let's see what he can do. He's athletic. He can run. He can play the outfield, and he can play second base.
Right. I'm just hoping that it's not a precautionary thing with Lindor. I mean, maybe he deserves a day or two off. Hopefully it's not a big injury or not.
Yeah, it could be, because obviously Jose Iglesias went to shortstop, and that was your second baseman. So who goes to second base now? Maybe it's Luis, but like, it could be the type of thing where, like, you know, he could be sitting on the bench. You know, like, the Yankees called up Yorbit Vivas earlier this year. We all thought we were going to see him. He didn't even sniff the field. He just was there, you know, just as a potential backup if needed in case, you know, something else happens in game. But I don't know. Lindor strikes me as the type of guy that is in good shape, takes care of his body, eats right. He's going to go to sleep tonight. He's going to wake up tomorrow. He's going to do everything in his power to stretch, to warm up, to get limber, and be there to play for the New York Mets. He understands he's the captain of the team, the MVP, the heartbeat of the organization. He has to play. They're playing against the Phillies.
Love it, man. Well, excited to see this kid come up tomorrow. He's probably going to be in the bench. Maybe he'll pinch run or something like that. But just wanted to put that news out there to you. And big props to you, man. You're doing your thing. And thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Yeah, I did see that on MLB Trade Rumors, and it was after my show started, so it wasn't in my notes. And now I'm clicking on 11:06 p.m., so my show started right around then. And, Luis Angel Acuña Ronnie's little brother being called up. I think it's just good vibes, good energy. I think it's just, you know, I always say this with the Yankees. Like, man, call those young kids up. See their smile. See how bright-eyed they are. And it can do something to the rest of the clubhouse. Like, see how these guys respond. Yeah, I see here, you know, Bleacher Report walk-off posted it at 12:04 a.m. while I was on. Let these young guys come up and play, and it can help the rest of these guys that are millionaire baseball players that kind of sometimes just go through the motions and just maybe even take it for granted. When you see a guy get that opportunity, it makes the rest of them think back to when they got the opportunity. And sometimes, you know, it makes the, you know, it brings the best out of guys. So here it is, Mets to promote Luis Angel Acuna, and you just hope that it isn't because of a potential Lindor injury. And like I said, I thought when McNeil went down for the season that this was going to happen. Maybe they waited, and you know, with Lindor exiting the game today, it's just an insurance play. All right, you know, it's September, call this kid up. We kind of were planning on it, and now is the right time. Joe is in Farmingdale on the Fan, my last call of the night.
Hey, how are you, Keith? Listen, I listen to you on the way home from work all the time. I think you're great. I don't really ever call up, but I just had to. I had to call up. I have a problem with David Ortiz and his issue with this double standard regarding Ohtani.
Okay,
this guy is, in my opinion, a walking double standard. Like he's in the Hall of Fame. He was linked to steroids, the same as all these other guys who have been blacklisted. I remember when he was in the heat of the rivalry between him and the Yankees. And everyone was getting hit and all these fights. No one ever threw at him. I mean, this guy must be the most well-liked guy. He should run for president. I mean, but in my opinion, Ohtani has been the backbone offensively for the Dodgers the entire season. Mookie Betts has been out. He has done everything he can to keep that team afloat. They're doing great. They're probably going to win the division. I just think, in my opinion, he needs to sit this one out. I mean, he's, like I said, everyone else that was linked to the same steroids he was has been pretty much blacklisted from the entire, you know, from the Hall of Fame. They're marked as an asterisk their entire career. Yeah, he gets a pass. This guy comes in. He's an absolute phenomenon. I know he's not pitching this year. And, if, you know, in these callers, they want to make a case for Lindor, and I'll hear him out. And it's a good argument. But in my opinion, Ortiz really should sit this one out. I mean, you can't talk about a double standard. This guy, he's gotten every pass. He's made the Hall of Fame when everyone else can't even be spoken of. They don't get the votes. They don't even get considered. And he's got a problem with him making the, you know, getting the MVP on a position he played. But it's like, dude, let the guy get his flowers. I mean, he's had a great year.
You're not alone in that thought. Ken Rosenthal, you know, spoke out against it. A lot of guys spoke out about, hey, who are you to take even a veiled shot at Shohei Ohtani? And he kind of opened himself up. AJ Pierzynski talked about it. All those guys talked about it on Foul Territory. You're not the only one that's on that side of, like, sit this one out. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, I think, and even me being in the Ohtani hater club, you know, there's a lot of people that are like, man, like, this guy gets different treatment than everybody else. And if you can pitch at the level that Ohtani can pitch and hit at the level that Ohtani can hit, you should get that treatment and a $700 million contract. Well, maybe not a $700 million contract. All we're trying to say is, if there ever was a year for there to be another person in the conversation because they just give Ohtani the trophy every year, it would be the year that he's not pitching, where Lindor is having this year for the Mets. Speaking of the Mets, co-host or producer of, more so producer, right, of the Rico Bronya podcast, Pete Hoffman is coming up next. So Pete will take you through the overnight. Everybody have a good weekend. Thanks for rocking with me. Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to 2 a.m. concludes.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.